Hi, you're about to get smarter in just a few minutes with Curiosity Daily from Discovery. Time flies when you're learning super cool stuff. I'm Nate.
And I'm Callie. If you're dropping in for the first time, welcome to Curiosity, where we aim to blow your mind by helping you to grow your mind. If you're a loyal listener, welcome back. And for those of us keeping track, happy 300th episode of Curiosity Daily. We couldn't do it without you, the listener, so thank you from everyone here at Curiosity for tuning in each week.
Today, you'll learn about a massive database of human genomes that's uncovering major new genetic discoveries, the scientists building Stone Age tools from scratch and then putting them to work, and a treasure trove of deep sea discoveries in an underwater mountain range.
Without further ado, let's satisfy some curiosity.
An endeavor initiated by the National Institutes of Health called the All of Us Research Program is aiming to gather the genomic and health data from over a million people. And they're off to a good start. So far, they've gathered almost a quarter of a million genomes.
Jeez, that is a ton of data. And that's almost like a treasure trove. What are they planning to do with all of it?
That is actually where the story gets really interesting. So they've just revealed that out of those nearly 250,000 genomes, they have identified over 275 million new genetic markers. And maybe that is such a huge number that it seems kind of meaningless, but it actually has some big implications.
So, okay, yeah, that number is actually really hard to wrap your head around. So these are all brand new genetic markers. Can you like give me an example?
Sure. I mean, they aren't actually new. They've just not been discovered until now. They claim that they were able to identify over 600 genetic markers associated with type 2 diabetes, nearly 150 of which were previously unreported. So imagine that you're a doctor or a geneticist trying to help someone understand their risk for type 2 diabetes. You suddenly have a whole bunch of new tools in your toolbox.
And that means that your risk assessment could be a lot more precise and accurate.
Exactly.
Okay, so where did they get all this data?
Well, great question, because there's another major breakthrough in this story. So the All of Us program set out to speed up health research and medical breakthroughs by gathering truly enormous amounts of data. People can opt in to give their genomic data, anonymized, of course, along with other optional data like Fitbit data, health surveys, and that kind of thing. But one of the most striking things about this is that they claim that about 46% of participants belong to what could be considered a minority racial or ethnic group.
That's amazing. I know minority groups have been pretty underrepresented in health studies historically, right?
Well, that's an understatement. The world's largest whole genome data set is called the UK Biobank and consists of around 500,000 genomes. But get this, 88% of those genomes are from white people.
Wow. So that must have an effect on genetic tests, right?
Oh, it sure does. Certain populations have higher or lower risks for certain conditions. Take the example of type 2 diabetes. Without a full genetic picture of an entire racial or ethnic group, polygenic risk scores, which can predict an individual's risk of developing a disease based on their genetics, just aren't accurate. In other words, until now, genetic testing is great if you're of European descent. Otherwise, it's just not as accurate as it could be.
So is this already having an impact?
Yes. Using the All of Us dataset, researchers were able to improve the accuracy of those polygenic risk scores for around 23 different conditions, recommending that 10 of them get clinical priority. But that's just the beginning. They have a huge endowment and plan on gathering a million genomes by the end of 2026. The impact of that data will be felt for decades.
And one side note to think about, all of that data would have been utterly useless in the past, right? Imagine putting each genome in like a manila file folder and stashing them all away in a giant warehouse.
Yeah, we've made such huge leaps in data analysis and algorithmic search that researchers meaningfully sift through as much data as you throw at them. And that is where a database like this will inevitably lead to unheard of breakthroughs in the years to come.
And without the kind of incredible diversity of data they're gathering, it would only be helpful to a select few. Let's say you found a mysterious looking tool in the shed and you weren't exactly sure what it was used for. What would you do?
Okay, first off, I reject the premise that I would find a tool I don't recognize. But for the sake of the story, I don't know, I guess I would hold it, see how it's balanced, look at its shape, maybe try to use it for different jobs, see how well it worked for them.
That is exactly what researchers from Tokyo Metropolitan University did, except the tools they were studying came from the Stone Age.
Okay, wow. Can you imagine getting to use Stone Age tools? Like, that would be super cool. But other than being cool, like, what were they trying to figure out exactly?
So much, in fact. The tools that people use tell us a lot about them. So let's talk about the study a little bit, and then I'll give you some examples as usual. They weren't using the actual tools because doing that would risk ruining them, obviously. Instead, they used period-accurate techniques to craft replica stone tools mimicking those from the early Upper Paleolithic Age, which was over 30,000 years ago.
So they made dupes.
Copies, more like. And then they used them. They performed tasks like tree felling, hide processing, and butchering. And then they just kind of carried them around like your average Stone Age person might. They even tried stomping on them.
How scientific. Just thinking in terms of science here now, what kind of data were they gathering? I mean, the feeling of cutting down a tree with one of these tools is subjective. Just doing that activity doesn't really tell us whether or not the Stone Age people did the same thing, right?
That's a great point, and I'm glad you brought it up. Because you're right. That's why they were looking at macroscopic and microscopic traces on the tool's edges to make a comprehensive data set of wear patterns.
Wear patterns. Now we're getting somewhere. I mean, if I use a circular saw, for example, it's going to wear differently if I cut through a fat piece of timber than if I'm slicing through a quarter-inch sheet of plywood.
Exactly. The combination of large visible fractures and tiny microscopic wear patterns give them a reliable way to deduce whether or not a tool is used to fell wood, for example. And that is where this takes a really surprising twist. It's always been thought that the Neolithic era, which was roughly 10,000 years ago, marked the dawn of advanced woodworking.
But if these tools that go back more than 30,000 years can be proven to have been used for woodworking, then researchers might have to rethink their history.
You got it. So far, they haven't fully completed the analysis, so they're probably still stomping on these things. But if the same kind of traces from their new tools are identified on real artifacts from this period, it could drastically alter our understanding of early human tech advancements and show that people in the Stone Age weren't just stone workers, they were carpenters.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Researchers have recently begun exploring an 1,800-mile-long mountain chain that has likely never been seen by human eyes.
Okay, how could there be a mountain chain that long that no one has ever seen?
And did I mention it's underwater?
You forgot to mention that.
All right, well, if you are a fan of wild expeditions to uncharted terrain, this is the story for you. An international team of scientists embarked on a mission to explore seamounts along the Salas y Gomez Ridge, which stretches from the coast of Chile all the way to Easter Island, nearly 2,000 miles at sea. They mapped over 20,000 square miles of seafloor and explored at least 4 new seamounts.
Cool, but okay, what were they looking for?
Well, to begin to answer that, consider this. The surface of the world's oceans make up about 139 million square miles. The average depth runs over 12,000 feet.
And the ocean makes up something like 70% of their surface, right?
Yep, exactly. And yet, less than a quarter of the seafloor has been mapped. And with all that unexplored area comes undiscovered habitats and never-before-seen life forms.
Biodiversity, of course. These underwater mountains just must be teeming with life.
Well, they thought they'd find a lot of biomass, but they weren't prepared for just how rich and flush with life these habitats were. But before we get into that, let's talk tech.
Right. How on earth did they scan such a massive area?
They used multi-beam sonar data to create detailed maps that homed in on the topography of the seafloor, which allowed them to visualize the seamounts they wanted to explore. And then they sent in the robots. A submersible called the ROV Sebastian could safely dive more than 14,000 feet to collect both data and samples from the seamounts.
So I would guess that different depths have different ecosystems, right?
That's what's amazing about seamounts. Think about the high peaks of the Rockies. They're around 14,000 feet high, right? And that's how far these seamounts rise from the sea floor. So imagine all the different creatures, habitats, and ecosystems you'd pass on a hike up a high mountain.
Sure, that's kind of an amazing way to think about it.
Right. But now imagine that many of the creatures you pass haven't been seen by anyone ever. The team said that they have potentially discovered more than 100 new species. They say that the amount of new sponges alone was mind-blowing. But they also explored deep-sea coral reefs, squat lobsters, whiplash squid, and oblong Dermecanus urchins, nearly 1,700 feet below the waves.
Cool. So what's next for these adventurers?
They're already back out on a second expedition, and they're planning to live stream some of the dives. They note that species identification can take years, but if their suspicions are correct, they have likely uncovered and will uncover potentially hundreds of new species. Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up. The All of Us research program has unveiled groundbreaking findings from an analysis of 245,000 genomes, identifying over 275 million new genetic markers and revealing critical gaps in genetic research for non-white populations.
Researchers have used replica Stone Age tools to reveal that early humans may have developed sophisticated woodworking techniques far earlier than previously thought, as evidenced by unique wear patterns on the tools.
Scientists exploring the Salas y Gomez Ridges seamounts off the coast of Chile with advanced technology have discovered over 100 potential new species. Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery. You can find our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd love if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Our Discovery executive producer is Dominique Vu. Our Wheelhouse DNA executive producer is Cassie Berman. This show is hosted by Callie Gate and Nate Bonham.
Our producer is Kiara Noni, and our associate producer is Kimaya Floyd. Writing is done by Sam Osterhout.
Sound design, audio engineering, and editing by Nick Karasimi.
I'm Nate Bonham.
And I'm Callie Gade. We'll see you next week.